Hi, welcome to Outliving Depression. I'm your host, James Kennison, reminding you that depression is above all a liar. You have value even when you're broken, and you are stronger than you feel you are. This is my audio journal where I am striving to outlive depression.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
I always like to start with a weekly update, and this week I have been sticking to my guns on my, what I call my disciplines, which are praying, or reading, praying, walking, working, exercising, and something else. It's six things. I don't remember what they are, but I've been keeping up with them. But there was a moment this week where my eyes opened and it was night, you know, it was time to get up. And before I even opened my eyes, I just knew this was the first day where it was going to be a struggle. Like, there is no way I'm going to be able to get up and do all the things I have to do. I just was so tired still. So I opened my eyes to look at the clock, expecting 6 o'clock. It was 2:40 a.m. So I happily went back to sleep, and I'll have you know, when I got up at 6, I had energy to get up and do all the things I have to do. It's so weird having energy. Energy is great. When I was really, really depressed, obviously energy is a joke. It doesn't exist. There is no energy to do anything. There's no desire to do anything. But it's more than a desire, because if it was a desire, you could talk yourself into it. There's no energy. There's no power. There's no source. There's no way. And when you're not depressed, it just instantly changes. And so the message that brings to me is that when I was depressed, I felt like a loser. I felt like a loser, like a bum, like a lazy, stupid bum. But inside me the whole time was this, you know, this discipline, this ability. It was just being covered up by chemicals in my brain that weren't functioning right. So if I go back down, and I may. It's been a while now, but it's not out of the question, you know. I'm going to try to remember that. Even though I will feel like total crap, even though I feel like I've left everything and lost everything and have reset to zero on everything that I've done, you know, getting a job, working out, you know, losing weight, all the positive stuff I've done, a lot of that will go by the wayside. But I will try to remember that that's not who I am. It's just the way things are because of brain chemistry. And at least if I can't stay positive, I can say these things to myself, because confessions about yourself, things you say to yourself that are good, and do have power. And they have the same power as when you say, oh man, I'm stupid. That was stupid. I'm an idiot. I do that all the time. And it's terrible. It's a terrible thing to do to yourself. And I need to stop, and I try and catch myself, because what I did really was stupid and I was a moron for doing it. But I need to stop that. And I don't need to be all tree huggery and be all, You know, you're a beautiful person inside, even though you made a tiny mistake. I don't need that either, you know. But at least not to say the negative. And then when I go, if I go down again, to say positive things, you know, I feel like crap. I feel like garbage. I feel like a loser, but I am not. I'm not. I'm doing loser things. I'm not getting out of bed. I'm not exercising. I've lost interest in reading and everything else, but I'm not a loser. I'm sick. I have a sickness. I have a brain disease. Anyway, let's get right into the main meat of the topic because it's fresh on my brain. All right, last Tuesday, I go to work. And 21, who's one of the guys I work with, has been given the job of putting up vinyl in the window and been given little else other than just the command to do it. Has never done it before. Again, you know, not successfully. Never been trained. Just told to do it. Boss leaves. I don't offer help, even though I see him making many mistakes. Because the last time that I tried to help him with that very same job, I got yelled at for assisting him. So by the time boss comes back, 21 has decided that he needs to hang this stuff on the outside. And so he's outside on a ladder, and boss comes back and he's mad. He's like, I want this on the inside. And he turns to me and starts in on me. At some point, you must have known. At some point, you could have said something. I said, I am not his superior. I am not his employer. I said, and the last time I tried to help, you yelled because we were both up there trying to work together. So I tried to let him do as much as possible. And then he starts in on Trey. And I said, you know what? You can have my 2-week notice. And he says, that's fine. I said, but it's not fine because you need me here because I'm a great employee. I just can't handle the way you talk to us. You're belittling 21. You're belittling him and you're putting him down and you make us feel like crap. He says, can we take this to my office? His whole face changed. So we did. I went in there and in the spirit of humility, I sat while he paced. Sat in a low space, put myself in a low position because I had stepped to him. I wanted to show him respect. And I said, basically, I don't remember everything word for word, but the gist of it was, I'm giving you the benefit of the doubt, boss. You're a good boss. I love working here. I want to make this place a success because I work here. I want to improve it. I said, and I don't think you realize it. Don't think you know it. But when you yell at us and when you demean us, it makes us scared of you. And you want us to ask questions and we ask questions and you get mad and you yell and you demean and it makes us not want to ask questions. And there's a lot of time that is wasted because we don't call on you because you'll get upset. And he said some stuff that I've now known to become pretty repetitive. I need a sense of urgency. And what that translates from or to is I run my business poorly. I don't prioritize things properly. And so every time, every day, let's just say, there's a deadline that I've allowed to go too far. And something that should have been done 2 or 3 days ago suddenly has to be done all today. And so the sense of urgency is to cover his butt. because he's got a customer that he doesn't want to give money back to. So things were better after that. Like, I really was going to quit, even though I said I wasn't going to. Because I was mad at the way he was yelling at 21. He'd been on all, especially him, the youngest. But I said my piece. He told me that I could ask all the questions I want, that he is never angry, that I've misread him, this, that, and the other. I gave him the benefit of the doubt. I walked out of there shaking hands with him. You know, later on that week when he had to have a talk with 21, he took him in his office and had the talk. And that was more respectful. I think that's exactly what a manager should do. But I'm glad I didn't podcast yesterday, even though I was supposed to, because today is a whole new week. And Monday I go in there and I get yelled at. And I got yelled at because I was printing something. And maybe he's completely right. That's why I haven't decided yet what I'm going to do. But he had allowed me to print a banner for NarthexCon. So I had done everything and they had left me there alone. I had finished everything I needed to do. And I had started reading the plotter manual. I read the whole thing. And I said, this is great. And he says the same thing. He says, you know, you can put your head in those videos and those manuals, but getting out there and doing it is what really matters. So I said, you know what? I need 50 NarthexCon stickers for the bags. So what I'll do is I'll print off 50 stickers. I'll learn how to get them set up for plotting. Because I had done plotting with just vinyl, where you cut out like on a Cricut. But I hadn't done the printing and then cutting thing. It's a different setup. It's a different layout. So I printed off 50 stickers. He comes in violently mad. I mean, just angry. What is this? I said, this is me practicing. He says, listen, we don't do anything outside of fast signs. Anything. And I was like, okay, that's fine. I just said yes. I didn't argue with him. The fact that he allowed me to print a banner with no problem whatsoever. He said, you should have asked me first. I agreed. I apologized. Offered to pay. You know, I intended to pay, you know. And he says, any time that you have to do stuff like this, you should be doing something else. And I said, well, I want you to know that I've done this on my own time. I'm at lunch right now. And he said, it didn't matter. He was already mad. He wanted to be mad. He wanted to confront me, and nothing I could say could fix anything. So anyway, I wasted his material and, you know, probably stepped out of line, probably assumed too much, probably, you know, bit the hand that fed me kind of thing. So I apologized, and I am going to go in there tomorrow because I still want my stickers. And I'm going to either learn how to cut them, or I'm going to bring the roll home and cut them out manually, which would be a huge pain in the butt. But at least I'll have my stickers for my goodie bags. But when we first started talking early in the job, there was conversations about being able to do t-shirts and stuff like that for my podcast. So I didn't make it up from nothing. He just was in a bad mood again, wanted to yell at someone again. And I was his target. Now, later in the day, he's thrilled because I, again, like I said, had been doing everything that I was supposed to be doing. He even texted me about a job He said, go ahead and print out a sample. I texted him back. It's already been done. It looks great. I was wrong about worrying about the resolution. I'm working on the other proofs. He comes in and he starts talking to me about printing that job. He obviously hadn't read his text. I said, it's right there. I've already done it. I've already started working on the other proofs. Oh, he's happy. He's thrilled, you know. And then we go to this school. We put up all of these vinyl, clear vinyl stickers on the wall, on the windows, tons of windows. We get them all done but four. We had to leave at 4 o'clock so the place could lock up. And it's a 20-minute drive, and we get off at 4:30. So it all made sense. He calls me. We're 10 minutes away from work, and he says, are y'all heading home? And I said, yes, sir. We're 10 minutes out. He's like, oh, okay, great, you know. So I feel like I'm constantly exceeding his expectations, you know? Like, he called intending to correct me and tell me you should have been gone by now, or you should be leaving by now, or something like that. But we had already, you know, handled that. We'd cleaned the area we'd worked in. We put all, it was in a cafeteria. We put all the tables back, you know, on and on. I made a list of window squares that we needed to reprint and all that kind of stuff.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Get an 11% rebate at Menards. Rust-Oleum Stops Rust custom 5-in-1 spray paint lets you choose from 5 spray patterns with a twist of the dial. It protects indoor and outdoor metal and wood projects for long-lasting results and is available in more than 40 colors. Get started in your painting project at Menards, number one in customer satisfaction, among home improvement retailers according to J.D. Power. For more information, visit jdpower.com/awards.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So I don't feel like I made a mistake, right? But the outcome is still the same. Like, I'm constantly waiting to get yelled at. And that was what it was like living with my stepdad. And I want to get into this a little bit later about why it's such a big deal. But right now, let me just move into some life updates. It looks like insurance is going to fix the Rogue, my car, my Rogue. If you listen to that story show, they actually said it was going to cost less than predicted. So that, even though we haven't gotten official word that yes, that we are fixing the car does seem like the thing that's going to happen. And that is the best outcome because I don't have to go out and buy a dumb car. So that's good. The Boomer that my son and I bought his car from, got his money. And if you don't remember, I bought a car and the guy said Venmo would be fine. But then when the money wasn't in his account, it was in Venmo, he wouldn't release the title. And he made us sit in his house for like an hour and a half while he tried to get it transferred. So I had to drive back out there on Monday to pick up the title. But now everything is done. It's been insured. I got tag and title and all that taken care of, which used to be a huge deal. It used to have been a 3-week deal to gear up, to get ready to go to the DMV because it was so stressful. And I just left after work one day and just went straight there and stood in line, had no problems, no stress, no pressure. It is so good to outlive depression, and it is so worth waiting for. It was 13 years for me. I say 10, but it was 13. But it was 10 really, really, really bad years. And it's so good to be out of it. And I believe everybody has that hope. The only people that don't get better are the people who give up. So don't give up. I had breakfast with a friend. He's a very good friend. He's becoming an even better one. He is struggling, like you do, with God. And I say like you do because everybody that gets close to God, like for real, struggles. Because you find out that God is not, you don't really know God like you thought you did. Like you heard about Noah's in the ark, you know, Noah in the ark God. You heard about Adam and Eve God. You heard about, you know, Jesus's dad, God, you know, that's that kind of stuff. And you hear a lot of preaching and you're surrounded by a lot of people that just echo the same concepts and the same stuff. And you just get snug in this idea of God and he's going to protect me. He's my healer, my provider, Jehovah Jireh. His grace is sufficient for me. And then stuff doesn't start working out very well and struggles happen and your mind gets torn and your heart gets broken and you begin to wonder where, you know, how real was all that stuff? Was there anything of it that was worth a crap or was it all sermons, you know? And so I do pray for this individual daily, except for Sundays. And I know exactly what he's going through. I've been there. I was there for so long, so freaking long. And it took me so long. And my main prayer, or one of my main prayers, is that it won't take, that he's not as dumb as I am. But it was good going out to breakfast with a friend. It's outside my comfort zone, especially this new getting up early thing. I never understood why men went to breakfast. And now I know why. It's because it's the only time you can carve out of your day that you could call your own. So we went out Saturday at 9 a.m. to the Mud House. And I had a very small amount of eggs, a couple bites of bacon, a couple of you know, morning style potatoes where they cut them up fine. It's not quite hash browns. You know, it's really good. It's really good. And we sat there, must've been better part of 2 hours and just talked about God, talked about family, talked about life and found out we have a lot more in common spiritually than he probably would have guessed. So, Sunday was super productive yesterday. I've been praying lately that God will give me the work ethic at home that I have at work. And apparently that is kicked in because suddenly it started as little things like throwing away my trash instead of leaving it on the counter. You know, I have these little drink packets and I cut them open and it's so easy to dump them in the thing and then leave them on the counter for somebody else. It's so stupid and selfish, thoughtless. But it started with things like that. And then yesterday, I was super productive. I went to church. I went with my wife to Costco and we gave it a thorough once over. I put up a chandelier that I'd bought on Amazon in the kitchen. Took down a ceiling fan. I put together an office chair we got at Costco for Jen because she can work from home again now. And we set her up upstairs with a nice little office chair. And I don't trust Costco yet, so I checked the price online, and it's the same as it was on Amazon, except I didn't have to wait for it, so we got it right there. Plus, we get, I want to say, 7% off. I don't know. We're in some deal where we get money off and get a check at the end. I think everybody's in on that deal, but we got their credit card and we put it on the credit card and then pay it off every month. So we don't pay interest and you get like either 5 or 7% off or something like that. So pretty sweet deal, you know? But we have a similar deal with Amazon. We have their card and they give like 5% back or something. I don't know. So I put up the chandelier, set up the office chair, and I set up a ceiling fan that I got off Amazon into my new office space, my room, because the air was just stagnant and my computers heat up my room. So I got that up and it was like, I only spent like $30 or $40 on it. So I wasn't expecting much. And the glass is made of plastic and, you know, on and on, but it works good. And it has a remote so I can turn on and off the light. I can set the fan speeds automatically. It's pretty sweet. There's no chains dangling down, you know, or anything like that to click. So yeah, I feel like it's a little bit of an upgrade. So I did all that, right? I'm super productive. Costco, put up chandelier, office chair, ceiling fan, and I trimmed both dogs. And apparently I did a super good job because everybody in the family said how cute they were. I spent a lot of time on their faces. That is what makes them cute, is their faces. And I did the whole face with scissors, which they like a lot more than me trying to get a trimmer in there. But I do a little bit of trimming between their eyes and on top of their nose with a trimmer because it's hard to get down to skin, you know, with that. So with the scissors. So health updates. Strength training week one went just as planned. I have a system that I use. There's a part A and a part B. And then there's a rest day. So, you know, Monday's A today, Tuesday's B, and then a rest day. And then A and B again, the two following days, and then 2 days off for the weekend. So it works out great. The only thing I didn't have was a workout bench. So I got me a cheap bench off Amazon. And it inclines. So I use these 20-pound dumbbells, and now I can do incline bench presses. So I'm going to be doing that today after I get done with this podcast and getting it up online. And then I think I'm going to go to bed because I am so tired. Today just wore me out. And that's I'll get to that in a minute. I hit my weight, goal weight that my doctor told me I would hit of 230 last week. So this week I'm at 226 and my stretch goal is 215. So I'd like to lose even more and things are still going that direction. Jen has bought me new jeans, shorts, t-shirts, and underwear. I went down a size in my underwear. That's something you signed up to know, didn't it? Didn't you? But yeah, it feels good to be in clothes that fit. I'll be honest. You feel fat when you're in clothes that are too big for you. So it's good to be in double X shirts. It's good to be in size 34 pants instead of 38. I don't know if I'll lose more. I don't think I'll ever be a 1X. If nothing else, the skin that hangs, it's not bad. So don't be grossed out by me or anything. But it is there. It does. It's just like it was, honestly. I mean, my stomach hung out over my belt when I was fat. Now it's just flat, you know? And I just don't tuck my shirts in and it hides everything. And it doesn't look bad. I thought it would look gross. And I'm fine. My face has a little sag to it. My arms have a tiny bit of sag to them. But I don't care. I'm 50 years old. My wife thinks I look amazing. So to me, you know, though I did the surgery route, I think it was life-changing, absolutely life-changing. Like it's changed my life and it was well worth the money. Jen and I were talking about it at our date the other night. So worth it. Depression-wise, I'll get to that in a second, actually. Podcast-wise, I made $5 from Outliving Depression. Yay! All right, so, you know, we added ads to Outliving Depression. I got the ability to do that, and it was late in the month, but I made a total of $5, so thank you. $5 is better than no dollars, that's what I say. And I you know, I don't do it for the money, but the money is nice. And when it doesn't cost you guys anything, it's much rather better. Now, of course, our patrons, our supporting listeners, get our podcast without ads. So if the ads bother you, maybe consider becoming a supporting member at patreon.com/GOK. Okay. So depression. So far, everything's good, except for the boss. Emotionally, though, I'm still measuring things out in spoons. Now, if you've never heard of the spoon thing, it's a depression thing. Like some days you wake up and you've got 2 spoons for the day. And everything you do, good or bad, you know, fun or not fun, costs spoons. Some days you wake up with 10 spoons, 5 spoons, you know, 8 spoons. But you can get in a situation where you're in a bad day and you had to do a lot of stuff. You end up with a spoon deficit and it takes from the next day. Like you might end up sleeping in. You might end up not being able to go into work because you used up too many spoons. And emotionally, I am still measuring things out in spoons. And that man uses up a lot of spoons. And my worry is, and I'm not, I don't want to say worry because I'm on top of it. A worry is a problem you haven't dealt with yet. And I've been dealing with this. I cannot let him drag me down. I can't. I want to keep a job. But I cannot let that man just sap me emotionally and just get me back into this stressed out anxiety situation. Can't do it. I want to do well by him. I have this need to somehow redeem it. I need to talk it over with my counselor. I'll talk with her Sunday. It's my next appointment. I need to get her input because I feel like I should stay there. There's a challenge, you know, maybe we could turn it around. And then part of me is like, should I have to? So I've been thinking about calling other fast signs, seeing if they're hiring and saying, hey, you know what? I'm 88 to 90% trained on everything. And if you're not a butt, I'd love to come and work for you and see if I can make the same amount of money. Now, there is a brotherhood between these. You would think they would be at odds with each other, but they work together. And so, if I call around, there's a chance it'll get back. Of course, if I don't give my name, there's no way they could know. But there's a chance they wouldn't hire me to try, you know, because I'm trying to get away from boss. So I don't know, but that's the big thing about it is the only thing right now that is threatening my emotional and mental health is this boss. And I would rather not quit. I would rather slide into another position. But if I have to, I will. So right now, if things don't change, all right, so this is where I'm at, is I'm going to give it the rest of this week and the week after that. Okay, so 2 more weeks. And if things haven't changed, I will hand in my notice that Friday, which will mean 2 more weeks. of being there. At most, he may let me go. I don't know. But I may start calling about other jobs sooner than that. The thing is, you don't make decisions when you're sad, tired, sick, angry, or hungry. And right now I am all of that except for sick. I'm very tired. Today was a rough, busy day. It was a good day because we were out of the office. We were working independently, and I like that. But it was tiring. I was up on a ladder all day, putting vinyl to windows all day, hands above my head all day, you know, that kind of stuff. I'm ready to do my workout and go to bed early. But anyway, I can't let this man drag me down to depression. I can't let the job do that. So, family updates. Jen finished the first week at her new job. She is loving it. She spent the first 2 days wondering if she made the wrong choice. But that was orientations. And, you know, the boss took her out. He flew in from New York. Her boss works in New York. And but she's loving things now that the orientations are over and she can get down to work. She's already got ideas. She's like, I'm going to totally revamp the way they do everything. And I'm going to have to move slow because it's going to freak them out. But she has so much flexibility. Like today we were supposed to have our gutters fixed and they never showed, but she stayed home so she could pay them. And they never showed up. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what's going on. You guys know I've been struggling to try to get the deck painted and the gutters fixed. And it's like, it took forever to get an appointment. And then the appointment comes and goes and they don't even show up. I don't know. Jenna went to a Midwest beach with her friends. And I kind of feel sorry for her because we raised her in Florida for a good bit of her early childhood. And she got to enjoy the beach. And now she went to some lake that had sand dumped on it. And that's not the same thing. Because sand isn't supposed to have sticks in it. You know what I'm saying? Dirt. And when you put dirt or sand by, you know, the lake, dirt gets in it. And it's not the same at all. There's no waves. But apparently there was a dock you could jump off of and all this kind of stuff. And they just had a blast. Jenna took a bunch of food. So she's doing great. She finished her first work week of her internship. She looks so sharp when she goes in, so beautiful, wearing her little business attire. And they give her actual work to do too, which is great. And being like her mother, she's working two jobs. So she's doing the internship during the day, and then she's still working shifts at Chick-fil-A in the evening because she's crazy. And she's got this idea that she wants to have all of her rent paid, like the money for it for the year in advance, which is fantastic. It's the way we raised her to be financially responsible, but she's exceeding my expectations, and that's amazing. Jay finished his first week at Marshall's. He's working at Marshall's. I didn't remember the name last week, but you know, they sell clothes. And he looks really sharp, and he closes every night. So he goes in at like 3 and comes home at like 9:30, and he just comes in and he's all grown. He just looks grown. And I went and visited him at work and surprised him. And the way it worked out is I bought a couple pair of shorts and I went and stood in line. I couldn't find him. And one of the cash registers opened up and the guy's smiling at me real big. And then I realized it's Jay. Jay's working the daggum till. I had taken a selfie with me in the men's department because he told me he worked in the men's department so that if I didn't see him, I could post this and say, hey, I was there. You know, maybe you were on break or something. But no, he checked me out and, you know, ran my card and the whole nine yards and asked where mom was, of course. And I said, well, we are coming separately because I was putting together office chairs and trimming dogs and doing all kinds of stuff. So add that to the list of the busy Sundays as I went to church and I went to visit Jay at his work. And so I'm an amazing dad, and Jay's an amazing young man, and I was super proud that he was there doing that. So what am I reading, watching, playing, and doing? Well, I'm reading, I finished reading last week. What's it called? It's called Lone Survivor. That's not right. It's called The Last Man on Earth, and that's not right either. It's called I Am Legend. And I went to the book club to talk about it, and I'll be honest, it was not what I expected. There were three women that were older than me, which isn't a problem, but they knew each other very well, and they were not very inviting. So I thought maybe I have invaded upon a women's only reading group. But then they told me that the guy that runs it always runs late. And I was like, oh, okay. So that's not it. They're just not very welcoming. So the guy shows up, and he, I start, you know, introducing myself, talking to him a little bit. And, he's a good guy. He's very geeky, you know, and that's a good thing. It's a good thing. He's very passionate. He had his book. He had notes from Wikipedia, and he did 99.9% of the talking of the discussion of this book. And so he's talking, I'm wanting to make, you know, interject thoughts and feedback, and there's no space for it. And meanwhile, the three ladies down at the end were pretty much having their own meeting. And it was just kind of chaotic. And I thought there would be more discussion. I think he talks the most because he meets with these ladies and they don't talk very much. They talk to each other. And so I think the meetup is a great idea, but I think it's an abysmal failure. And so what I've decided to do is to use them for their book ideas, because they are a fantasy, sci-fi, horror, novella reading group. So short novels. I can get down with a shorter novel. So I am going to read their books, and I might try to go back one more time, give it another shot. He said there were some people that were supposed to be there that weren't there. And I feel like if there were more people that were interested in talking about the book, it would have been a better meeting. And, you know, I should still try to reach out. The other thing is it's a 2-hour meeting. I didn't realize that. I thought it was an hour. So I left an hour in. I had to go. 2 hours talking about a book at a Panera? I don't know, man. I don't know if that's what I'm looking for. So what am I watching? Well, this week I watched a video. It's called Hot Ones. It's First We Feast on YouTube, and they do a series called Hot Ones where they have celebrities. They interview them as they eat hotter and hotter hot wings. There's like 10 levels, and it goes from nothing to absolute fire. And Chris Hemsworth was on it. And one of the questions he was asked was, you know, you're a action star. So what action movies do you like? And he immediately said two Van Damme movies, Bloodsport and Kickboxer. And so I watched one of them on one of the streaming services, and I rented the other one on Amazon. And so I enjoyed both of them very much. Good movies. Very similar. Very, very similar plots. But Van Damme was the man. I'm sure he still is too, but he was back then. Last night, I found myself reassociated with a YouTube channel I'm going to share with you in a minute. And they review scary movies. And they count how many kills have been in the movies. But more than that, they go behind the scenes and they talk about the productions and the special effects and the creativity and the writing and all that kind of stuff too. So I really enjoy the show. But the latest one they'd put out was about a movie called 12 Hour Shift that I'd never heard of. And it's an indie film. And it definitely is a lightweight horror movie. It's more of a crazy movie, like a series of crazy events happen over the night of this one nurse that's addicted to painkillers. And she's selling organs to pay for her habit, and the organs go missing, and the whole night is about trying to replace these organs, or these mobsters are going to kill them or whatever. So, you know, it's not your typical horror movie, but a lot of people died unnecessarily. So, it was a good movie. I wanted to see it before I watched it on Kill Count. So it's on Hulu. And again, Christians, I don't suggest it, but I've found that all Christians have a thing that they do that is not acceptable. They use grace. Sometimes it's food, you know? Sometimes it's buying that lottery ticket. Sometimes it's spending too much on Amazon. And sometimes it's watching Rick and Morty and watching 12-Hour Shift. So that's my evil that I use grace for. So I always like to share a YouTube channel, and I mentioned it already, but at Dead Meat is where you can find Kill Count, which is a great little show. And if you like scary movies, it's not only a great way to find out more about scary movies, it's a great way to find them, because oftentimes you just don't know. You know, the big ones that come out in movie theaters, you know about the Jasons and the Michaels and the Chuckies and all that. But, you know, 12-Hour Shift would have completely flown under my radar if I hadn't, you know, saw it on Kill Count. So anyway, good stuff. Check it out if you want to. If you don't, and if you think I'm going to hell, then pray for me. What have I been playing? I played a little bit more Watch Dogs 2. It is a good game, but I find that I don't have time to play video games right now. So that's all I'll say about that. What am I doing? I created and led a game for our community outreach family fun night that we do for the families in the neighborhood that our community center is located in. It's one of the most dangerous communities in the city. I actually looked up the crime reports every day. They're posted in a PDF form and for the city, the whole city. And I went through it because I was trying to find maybe humorous crime for that story show. And all I saw were murders. And they were all in Dutchtown. People being shot and killed in Dutchtown, which is where our community center is located. And it definitely, you know, punched me in the gut and said, you ain't going to find nothing funny here. There's nothing funny about none of this. But this is the community we reach out to. And every couple of months, we invite families and their children. You know, it's usually moms and their kids or grandmas and their kids. There's a father that comes with his kids. And we do crafts, games, food, and then a very brief faith thing. You've heard that I've done at least two of those with object lessons in the past. And then we cut them loose, and they go home with a goodie bag that is full of games and things that they can do together as a family throughout the week. And it's run by a very good friend of mine. And she's very creative and very good at what she does. But I created and led a game. And I'm a former children's pastor, and my games always had a lesson. Always had a lesson. I never wanted to waste a minute. And if you're going to put games in your service, they should have a purpose, not just to break up the monotony. They should break up the monotony. And I have rules for my games. And most of my games, first of all, the first rule is keep it simple. Okay. It's got to be as fun to watch as it is to play. That's the second rule. Third rule, it's more of a guideline, really, is most of my games are how many blanks can you blank in 60 seconds? Because that keeps the game to 60 seconds. My fourth rule, which is a rule, not a guideline, is that it should not take more than a minute and a half to explain the game. It should definitely not take very long at all. So let me lead you through my process. I found out what David was going to be talking about during the faith time. He said gratitude. I said, awesome. Well, gratitude's a big word for kids. They may not have ever heard it. So I'm going to use my game to define gratitude. So I got some easels and I drew circles on them. And I bought some, 1,000 thank you stickers off Amazon for $6. And I cut them into strips and I put them into 2 equally fold bags. I had 2 easels with circles on them and I called up 2 groups of kids. I dumped the stickers on the ground. They were rolls of stickers. Easier to get them off the rolls than it is individual stickers, pulling them apart. So everything is done with purpose. And the rules were this. You have 60 seconds to peel off as many stickers as you can and to fill that circle. It said, gratitude is what we're talking about today. And they would put their thumbs up because they'd been told every time they hear gratitude. But what does it mean? It might be something you never heard before. It means to be thankful. And what's one of the easiest ways to be thankful when somebody does something for you? What is something that you can say that costs you absolutely nothing and is so easy to say? What is it? Thank you. Exactly. And that's what's on every single one of these stickers. And these circles are like our lives. And we want to fill our minds and our hearts and our mouths with thanksgiving, with gratefulness, with gratitude. So you've got 60 seconds on the clock to fill these circles with as many thank yous as possible. On your mark, get set, go. And I had created a custom countdown in Premiere with a animated background that said thank you out of balloons. It would write itself and then erase itself. I ran it backwards and forwards until 60 seconds were up. And I animated each number so it kind of blasts toward the screen instead of a simple little countdown. And at the end of the countdown, I used the bell from that story show as the completed thing and stop. And then we looked and we see who filled out the most. And man, it was close. It was close. I was about to pick one side over the other. And somebody pointed out that some of the stickers on team one were outside the circle. And immediately a 4-year-old that was on that team looked up and she said, I am turning 5 tomorrow. I did the best I could. And I said, did you guys hear her? She is under stress. She is turning 5 tomorrow. You guys need to get off her back. She did the best she could. So I made it a tie. Another rule about the game is the prizes that you win have to be good, but not so good that it makes the kids that didn't win sad. So when my kids play the game, everybody wins a prize, but winners get double. So everybody walks very happy. And the kids in the audience, there's also who I'm talking about. Yeah, the kids that played got a piece of candy. And I didn't get a piece of candy. But it was only one piece of candy. It's not like they got a bicycle or a freaking candy bar. And sometimes outreach people go for these giant prizes. And it just breaks the heart of the kids that didn't get picked first of all. And second, when they didn't get to play. And then thirdly, the guy that did gets a giant prize that makes them so jealous they can't stand it. It makes them sad. I don't want to make kids sad. So they got airheads, little airheads. They're about 1.5 inches long. And each of them got 2. And then they went back and sat down and my game was over. And so a lot goes into my games. Almost as much, if not more, than when I do sermons. Because my game is a sermon. It's on gratitude. So what else am I doing? I listed more Legos on Marketplace and eBay. I had a guy that was about to buy my last bit of Legos from 10 years ago. I have an X-Wing fighter. It was dropped in a puddle and the corner, one edge of one corner collapsed on itself. It's never been opened. It's completely dried out for the last 10 years. There's nothing wrong with it. And for somebody that wants to collect the box, it's no good for them. So it's not worth the $250 that they're selling them for on eBay. But I listed it on Facebook and eBay for $200 because somebody that wants to build it, that's the cheapest they're going to find it anywhere unless it's already been opened and put together. And then they would have to take it apart, put it back together. But everything's in the bags. Everything's ready to go. Hey, if you want it, email me and we can talk. Closing thought for today, because that's about it for me. You know, when you're up and you're feeling better, it seems like it'll last forever. And that's why it's such a tragedy when the downtimes come, because you thought they would last forever. And then when we're down, we feel like that's going to last forever and that it's never going to go away. It's never going to quit. That's why people kill themselves, is because they literally believe what depression is lying to them about. And it's a lie that it's going to be good forever, and it's a lie that it's going to be bad forever. And so on one hand, it sucks because, you know, like I said, I'm in a good place right now, but I'm believing for healing, and I claim it, and I thank God for it. But I also pray, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief, because I've been here before and I've gone down. I've been higher than this and I've gone lower, you know? So it's pretty dark when you're up, because you're always worried about, okay, do I wake up tomorrow and I'm just feeling like crap, you know, feeling like bad again. But the positive side is, the flip side is, when you're down, you can't believe that it's going to last forever either. So neither one is true. You will have both good and bad moments, but you can trust the pattern, because there is a pattern. When you're down, it will not last forever. So if you're down right now and you're feeling like absolute crap, you're wondering how you're going to get out of bed tomorrow, all that sucks. It's terrible. There's nothing I can say to make it better. But I can say you can outlive it, and it won't last forever. You will smile again. There will be times you will laugh. There are movies you will see that will make you feel better. There are hobbies that you have that might make you feel better. There is sleep to be had. There are things that are worth outliving depression for, the least of which is watching it die, doing to it what it wants to do to you, destroying it. This show has been brought to you by our supporting listeners on Patreon, with special thanks to Carrie Wright and Carrie Bernhardt. Join the community. Become a supporting listener today at patreon.com/GOK for ad-free listening, swag, and more. Email me your feedback, thoughts, and questions, james@nlcast.com. For everything else, visit gokcast.com. Actually, I need to update that. It's outlivingdepression.com. God bless you guys. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.